Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls.
Today on episode 47.
Somewhere saying yes is the quickest and the most effective way to learn. And I'm saying this speaking from a perspective of a demographic that is probably on the younger side, but as you progress in your career and your day-to-day gets busy, I think there might be an opposite conundrum where you have to learn the art of saying no and not now. So for the purpose of this podcast, I would say saying yes to opportunities that seem like a right fit for you, I think is a good way to start. And I think it also helps you enhance and kind of give a microscopic view of like what your goals are, because once you know what your objectives and your goals are, it makes it easier to know what's the right fit and which opportunities to say yes, and not mindlessly saying yes to everything that's flowing towards you.
Today on episode 47, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Alekia Pojaraju. As a senior clinical product development lead at Genentech, where she provides clinical oncology biomarker operations expertise, she believes that as the future of healthcare is geared towards personalized medicine, biomarkers are a critical element of cancer drug development and cancer therapeutics. Prior to Genentech, she worked in quality technology at Sanofi, Genzyme, and Fluidgyme. So thank you so much, Alekia, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, and thank you for having me. I'm Alekia Pojaraju. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. And I've been in biotechnology and biopharma professionally for over a decade. And that time has been centered around healthcare and life sciences. And I started with my undergrad in biotechnology engineering in India. And post that, I pursued my graduate degrees, first in MS and then MBA in the US. And what has remained consistent over the past two decades, both when I look at my educational and professional pursuit, is working towards a product that matters and is meaningful. And for me, that has been within the healthcare space. So my current association to healthcare is supporting the drug development and innovation journey of cancer clinical trials and also advocating for health equity.
That's super cool. Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here so I can talk to you. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
For all intents and purposes, I would say my career path has been linear with healthcare and life science as a focal point. And it was kind of easy because I always innately liked studying science. And when I was ready to pick a track for my undergrad, at that time, there was a lot of buzz around biotech engineering as this new and upcoming field. And this was back in the day, so I'm a bit old. And I was swayed by this opportunity to leverage traditional biology, but also utilize technology to modify living organisms. And that meant that the application ranging from treating illnesses all the way to like creating new biofuels, all of that intrigued me. And I think that's how I decided to study biotech engineering. And in parallel, what I also did was several unpaid and paid internships that started out really early in my undergrad days. And they varied from working in a bioprocess manufacturing to doing cool things like molecular biology projects that involved DNA cloning, to being in quest for understanding certain cellular level cardiovascular signaling pathways. And it went also into like doing some animal model experiments for the love of science and understanding the drug response treatments. So all of these wide range of undergrad and like grad level internships, I think they were my way of validating and somehow proof checking how I wanted to steer my career. And this is what helped me like kickstart my first job, if I could say that, as an analyst at Genzyme, which is a biotech company creating medicines for like rare diseases. And cutting to my current work, I wanted to be closer to bringing impact, like bringing impact through getting life-saving medicines to market. And for me, that meant being part of this entire research and development gamut that goes into demonstrating whether a specific therapy, whether it's safe, whether it's effective, high quality, all of that. And for me, that meant being part of clinical trials.
Yeah, that's really cool. I liked how you got your feet wet by going through different internships, regardless of what that may be. And that really helped you kickstart your journey in medicine and healthcare. That's really, really cool. And I really liked how happy you are about them. All right. So, my next question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Similar to what I'm currently doing is what I'm thinking. Okay. I feel like for someone who is new to biotech sphere, how to map out a career path that can seem a little bit daunting. And I also feel that the biopharma industry, it has seen phenomenal growth and surge of medical advancements in recent years. One of them includes COVID-19 vaccines and related mRNA technology advancement. And what I'm trying to say here is that the industry as we know it today might not remain the same, whether it's 5 years, 10 or 20 years down the line. So my broad stroke attempt on this would be a skill that comes in handy is being a lifelong learner and having that agile mindset. I can even put in an example, like when I started out, digital health, whether it is in the form of wearable sensors like your Apple Watch that records heartbeat, or machine learning models or artificial intelligence that are being currently used to speed up the drug discovery process, they were either non-existential or they were in a nascent stage. And a result of this ML AI integrations is that biotech industry has seen a significant progress with the adoption of interdisciplinary field. So my advice is every couple years or so, deeply consider your career path, take an inventory of like where you are, where the industry is heading, and where you want to be. And for anyone that is looking to do a similar role as I'm currently doing, which is being part of a clinical drug development, starting with an undergrad degree in any biological sciences will do. There is absolutely no secret sauce. Anyone can do it. I guess what I'm trying to say or communicate here is that don't be overwhelmed by the STEM fields. And from my personal experience, a career in science is doable. It can start with an undergrad degree and then fine-tuned based on your own personal goals.
Yeah, I mean, as you said before, the lifelong learning part is a big part of it because a lot of people they get discouraged when thinking about the science part of STEM, but just knowing that anybody can do it and it's possible, it's not an impossible thing, is something that's really helpful to a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, I do understand that. And I think it also is a bit daunting because biotech has a field, I could speak to that, is it's really huge and its applications are vast and varied. It can go from like agriculture innovations to sustainability and cleaner energy to human health, which is where my current work lies. So given the amount of options that there are, an amount of paths that could lead us within a biotech career, it can seem a bit daunting.
Yeah, but just knowing that you can do it and it's not an impossible feat is something that's really encouraging. All right, so my next question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Okay. I think this is going to be my favorite question, and I have two myths for us to debunk here. The first one, as biotechnologist or biological scientist, the image is often synonymous with wearing a white lab coat and working in labs, and has an extension, a stereotypical image of that person in a white lab coat is working on this high-tech machines and mixing chemicals together in a flask or on Bunsen burner. They're doing something, probably experimenting on a virus, all of that. While that is true for some, it is not true for all. My career is focused on human health aspect of biopharma technology. My role is in drug development and clinical trials, and it does not involve any lab work. Similarly, there are other roles outside of the lab that tap into biotech expertise, whether it's in the field of communication, policy and public health. There are other examples like in the fields of intellectual property or patent laws that are very specific to biopharma and biotech, and none of these involve having roles that involve wearing a lab coat. So that's one misconception that I have that I would love to debunk.
Yeah, I mean, when you search up a career similar to yours, this typical stock image you see on Google is just a person pouring some chemical fluids into a flask with a white lab coat and some goggles on their eyes. That's like the typical image you see, and I guess that's why a lot of people are steered away from paths like those because, they probably don't want to do lab stuff. But just knowing from another source like yours that not all healthcare or biopharmaceutical, industries, their careers are like lab coat type of things. You can do so many other things in this field that's not relevant to that.
And that's probably another segue to the other misconception that I would love to debunk is to have a meaningful impact, a PhD or an MD is a requirement, which is not necessarily true. Biopharma industry requires people with a background in using specific technologies and techniques in certain areas of work, and they can range from data analysis to project delivery to regulatory expertise. And these roles don't necessarily require undergoing a PhD program. That said, I would like to say that certain types of roles, oftentimes the roles that are in a lab setting, benefit from a PhD or an MD, and having these degrees oftentimes can be a competitive advantage. So similar to my earlier myth, while this is true for some, it is not true for all. Don't be discouraged by the long educational journey that you would have to embark on to make a significant or a meaningful impact. It does not necessarily have to go all the way to PhD and postdoc to make valuable contributions.
Yeah, that's another perspective actually, because a lot of people, when they think about, anything in STEM or science particularly, they think of that 12-year path that you have to go on. And they're just, I mean, me personally, when I was a kid, I thought that was like what you had to do. And I was like, I'm actually not going to be in this. But just knowing that there's so many other career paths that you can go on without that whole 12-year, journey, that's something that can keep your eyes open. All right. And my next question for you is, if you could step into my shoes or younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I did not?
And remind me again, what's the demographic of your listeners? High schoolers going into freshmen or first year graduate?
Yes.
In that case, I would say, well, this is not my question. I was asked this question as a panelist at Harvard Undergrad Summit-like conference, so I'm heavily paraphrasing and borrowing. So the question was that if I could go back in time to my graduation year, what advice would I give myself? And I remember after being asked this question, I remember feeling that this is a very profound one because I was able to look at my graduation year through a retrospective lens. And what I remember thinking is that I did not get straight A's. I didn't get into a high-profile job right after I graduated. It took me a while to find that right fit. So my advice would have been to myself is that don't let the options in front of you limit the possibilities that surround you. So I think that would have been a very critical piece of advice if someone would have given me, I would have immensely benefited.
I see. Just knowing that you can look back on your lens through, as you said, retrospective lens, and just being able to see how you can take that information that you probably learned in the past and bring that to the present, and knowing that's okay, if your path and, retrospectively wasn't always linear, that's okay because you always have a journey ahead of you.
Yeah, and when you're in the thick of it, I think we focus so much on the grades or the immediate future outcomes. For me, it was like finding a job or worrying about how would I pay rent without asking for a handout from a family member. So I'm not discounting the importance of these things here, but I'm saying in the midst of that, at least for me, I lost the long-term mindset.
Yeah, it's like the bigger picture because all of these things, of course, they're important. Not, as you said, we're not discounting this, but just knowing the bigger picture, that's something you should definitely look at when you're feeling down. All right, and what are the best resources slash books that have helped you find your career path?
Okay, so the career landscape changes so rapidly, so instead of providing a resource, which I'm sure is going to sound outdated when it comes to books, for this question, I would say invest in a community of people and find your tribe. And the best way to do that is through networking. I think it's a great way to connect with those who have careers that you are aspiring to have. And the trick here is to build your network before you need it. And for me personally, this is still a work in progress. I don't necessarily like networking. And for someone who is not an extrovert, sometimes it can feel a bit transactional. But how you feel about networking, whether you like it, whether you hate it, or you're feeling tepid, it needs to be set aside, as meaningful networking is a necessary tool. And I would also say, more crucially, maintaining the connections that you have built. So, a resource that helped me iterate on my career is to build and value network, well, value my network.
Yeah, because networking and connecting with other people is very helpful for your future because I mean there's so many countless ways you can get guidance from other people, you can have a mentor, you can just build your own support system, and there's just so many valuable assets that come with building your network. And as an introvert myself, personally, I'm not an extrovert, I think so. It's pretty hard to find a network to talk to people, but just knowing that, okay, today I'm going to find this person online and I'm just going to shoot them a message. Just knowing that, you know, it doesn't have to be a big, huge step that you have to climb, but just little steps along the way.
Yeah, and networking does not necessarily equate to going to a networking event. It could mean reaching out to someone through a LinkedIn post. Maybe you have some common connections. Maybe you read their book, or you were part of a seminar where they spoke, or a podcast. Just reach out to them and say, hey, hello, I liked it. I liked what you were trying to say. And just connect.
Yeah, and honestly, what's the worst thing that could happen? You'd be left on read, or you're just given a flat out ghost. But honestly, if they connect, then that's wonderful connection for you, and you got to learn so many amazing things. All right. And what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
Okay, I think this is a tough one, but broadly speaking, having an open mind and saying yes to opportunities that matter, but also scouting for opportunities that can help you grow, that can help you grow your career. And I think somewhere saying yes is the quickest and the most effective way to learn. And I'm saying this speaking from a perspective of a demographic that is probably on the younger side, but as you progress in your career and your day-to-day gets busy, I think there might be an opposite conundrum where you have to learn the art of saying no and not now. So for the purpose of this podcast, I would say saying yes to opportunities that seem like a right fit for you, I think is a good way to start. And I think it also helps you enhance and kind of give a microscopic view of like what your goals are, because once you know what your objectives and your goals are, it makes it easier to know what's the right fit and which opportunities to say yes, and it's not mindlessly saying yes to everything that's flowing towards you.
Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword because, I mean, you say yes to a lot of things that might or might not be meaningful, and then at the end you're just burnt out and you just don't want to do anything. But at the same time, that's where you have to like learn how to say no and be mindful of things that you want. But also when opportunities come your way, like An example of mine was there was like this one cool like event or conference or whatever. I don't really remember what it was. And I was about to say no, but then I just decided out of like the quickest gut I had, I would say yes to it. And I made so many meaningful connections. And, you know, the people that I met that day are actually my friends that I talked to today. So just knowing that saying yes to opportunities that are meaningful to you and probably aligned with your interests will go a long way for you.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to say yes.
Yeah. And because we have some additional time, my next question for you is what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
I think the importance of having a mentor and how I would define a mentor is someone who can put themselves in your shoes and support you with their existing knowledge and experience. But having said that, I would also think that it's kind of unrealistic to expect one person to have all the answers. So my advice, and I would love to emphasize that having more than one mentor is the best path forward. And what I also found is that having multiple mentors would allow to gain and receive feedback on like different aspects of career goals. And I think there's a lot more to gain when you're triangulating advice from multiple individuals, right? It also helps you create this ecosystem where you can take bits and pieces of what each person has to offer and decide for yourself what words of wisdom feel like the right fit for your career aspirations. So, yeah, finding a mentor and finding more than one.
Yeah, because as I said before, these mentors can help you give valuable advice. And as you said, they can help step themselves into your shoes. And they can just give you some cool life experiences that you probably wouldn't have known if you were on your own. And just knowing that it's okay to have more than one mentor, because a lot of people think that once you befriend a mentor and you become really close, it's like this one really good analogy that I heard. Basically, these mentors are like your board of directors. It's always okay if a mentor goes into a position and then they just go out of that position and then someone else takes their place. And then these board of directors, quote unquote, are these people that help advise you and just help you learn and just be successful.
Yeah, and they're your sounding board, and finding a mentor is not one and done. It's important to have a community, have a tribe.
Yeah. And how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Within my role, I would say attending a lot of conferences and networking. I think those are the two pathways to like stay relevant and to stay on top of things. And somehow doing things outside of work can also help build certain, I think certain attributes that you can bring back to work. So for example, like traveling, or learning a new hobby, I think it does open some creativity window that you can then seep into your professional life. So, in terms of my role, I think attending, conferences, meeting more people, knowing what's happening within the industry has a at large, I think are really useful.
Yeah, honestly, conferences are pretty cool because not only because sometimes they offer free food as well, because those that food, it's amazing. Oh my God. You get cool relations and you get cool food and you also get cool merchandise. All you have to do is just spend a few hours away from your weekend, your precious weekend, and you get so many cool things in return than just rather watching Netflix. So going to conferences can also help build your relationships and networking and can also help you in the long run with your career, both personally and professionally.
Yeah, and it also helps you get a pulse on what the industry trends look like, which is super important to stay relevant, to stay on top of things.
Yeah. And my last question for you is, do you have any quotes or mottos that you love to follow and would like to share?
I don't have a quote, but I do have, or at least I'm trying to develop this habit of writing down my goals. And what it does is that I think it forces us to get a clear understanding on what's required to accomplish it. And it can also act as a motivator to complete the task necessary for the success. So commit your goals to writing probably would be my motto here.
I see. That's pretty cool. That's really notable because when you write things down, they kind of manifest. It's like a little trend that I have that whenever I write something down and actively recall it, it kind of happens. So it's pretty cool. And if you want to achieve your goals, then this is a good way to do so. Yeah, so basically that ends up the interview. Do you have any last words, Alakia?
I just want to say thank you for this chat and the opportunity to speak on how I started in my career at the Genesis and also at the internship level. And I do hope that some of your listeners will find the inspiration to consider biological sciences as a career path.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people they think, oh, because science is really hard, I'm just going to move on to something else. But that really isn't the case. And as you said before, science does not have to be a 12-year long track. It can be so many other things. And this just serves as a reminder that it's possible and it's not an impossible feat. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Arnas News, where we aim to inspire and empower women in STEM by featuring the stories of successful female professionals in the industry. Today, we had the pleasure of hearing from Alakia Pocharaju, the Senior Clinical Product Development Lead at Genentech, who shared three valuable pieces of advice. One, the importance of lifelong learning and adaptability. Two, the value of networking and building a community. And three, the diversity of career paths in biotechnology. Thus, that concludes episode 47. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show and helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Tito, you were listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Doodles!